The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello. Welcome to the podcast.
Where we spoke like that on the entire podcast today.
So it was great. Except we did it with English accents.
Yes.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck podcast. We're really excited to share what we have for you today. We have an update on the caravan, which is getting even worse.
Well, who's funding that thing?
I wonder. Who's funding it, and are there other caravans headed our way? Wait until you hear the update.
We look into a New York Times story about the definition of gender, which they say is a feeling you have in your head as opposed to something between your legs. And we actually have a person who studies these things for these issues for a living, Dr. Deborah So, who's a scientist that actually has her head on straight, mm-hmm. and can talk about these things, mm-hmm. in real terms. It was pretty interesting.
It's kind of a risky conversation, if you will, but you don't want to miss that. Also, today with the White House and Obama and the Clintons and CNN finding suspicious packages, we thought it was appropriate to talk to Roger Williams today. He's a congressman from Texas that was on the ball field when the Republicans were all shot at and tried to, and someone was trying to kill all of them. That someone happened to be a Bernie Sanders volunteer and supporter, worked with the Bernie Sanders campaign. He wanted to put an end to the Republicans. When will this stop?
And we have the latest in polls, some of them tightening for Republicans. We'll get into that as well on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program. It's Wednesday, October 24th.
I love Patriot Mobile, too. I don't know why people don't do this.
I don't know either, because I think people just get, you get stuck in the rut of, some company you've been with for a while with your cell phone, and you don't think about where your money's going. But, it's going to, a lot of times, hardcore left-wing causes, because these companies spend tens of millions of dollars supporting progressive candidates, progressive causes, and it's your money, right? You're paying it to them, and they're paying it to
the
left-wing causes.
The great thing is you still have the same great service, mm-hmm. using backbones, and you have the great service. However, you're not paying all the extra fees to these companies that they're taking and diverting to causes that you hate.
Yeah, it really doesn't make any sense to do it the other way. Patriot Mobile is fantastic. Go to patriotmobile.com. Switch. They're going to help conservative causes. It's patriotmobile.com/blaze. Get started today. When you use the offer code blaze, they're going to waive your activation fee for up to two lines. Just stop supporting the left-wing causes. patriotmobile.com/blaze or 1-800-A-PATRIOT for Patriot Mobile. It's worth a couple of minutes to make this switch. It makes a big difference.
Glenn Beck.
My gosh. Have you noticed that the press is not concerned at all about this caravan? They say this caravan's not going to make it up to the United States. This is just nonsense. And why are they talking about it now? Really? So is the caravan a political message or a weapon? The 7,000-strong migrant caravan now appears to be both. We know that this migrant invasion force was organized in Honduras by the leftist political party looking to embarrass the current right-wing government. We know that. You're not going to hear that on television. You're not going to hear that from the leftist mainstream news. You won't hear it because that hurts their case. They want everybody to look like they're just weak and helpless and children. Making a 2,500-mile march? Wow, that seems pretty strong to me. This entire charade has been one giant political stunt. But the question on my mind is, who's paying for this? Moving 7,000 people is incredibly expensive and difficult. What about the people who can't make it to 25 miles or 2,500 miles? What about the people who might have heat stroke, might have an accident, break their leg, sprain their ankle? What happens to them? Is there any medical treatment? You would think that the left would be really, really, really intent on finding Who's providing the water? Who's providing the food? How are these people? You're not just going into a town with 7,500 people and everybody going to a restaurant. How are these people eating? Is there no heart on the left? Can somebody tell me? I'm concerned about their health. I'm concerned about their welfare. I'm concerned about their health care. How do you move 7,000 people and not have people starve? How do you move 7,000 people and not have people need water? Basic sanitary conditions. What is happening? How about the children? How about the babies that are in strollers? Are those strollers built for a 2,500-mile march? Shouldn't CNN be down there asking the questions, raising the money for better strollers? These poor children. Now, who could write this check? Who is writing the check for all of this? Well, I asked Governor Abbott about it yesterday in an interview. Who's funding all this? He hinted that the Trump administration was fully aware. Now, my question is, did Mike Pence let the cat out of the bag yesterday from the Oval Office? Mike Pence, our vice president, said, quote, "At the president's direction, I spoke to President Hernandez of Honduras. He told me that the caravan that is now making its way through Mexico, headed for our southern border, is organized by leftist organizations and financed by Venezuela." This isn't Donald Trump. This isn't Mike Pence. This is the president of Honduras. Now that puts this caravan into a completely different context, doesn't it? This caravan of poor migrant workers has suddenly become an invasion force financed by a radical revolutionary Marxist in the president of Venezuela. So it seems to be perhaps more than just a Honduran political message. This is a weaponized attack. But I know CNN doesn't want to cover that. Can you just please find out, do they have enough water? Who's bringing that water in? Can you please have some compassion and just find out who's feeding these people? Who's caring for their medical needs on a 2,500-mile journey? Can you please find that out for the love of humanity? I pointed out on multiple occasions the caravan organizers have ties to both Castro and Maduro in Venezuela and Cuba. This new information from Mike Pence makes sense. If you're Venezuelan President Maduro, you want to attack the United States, but you barely have enough money to buy any toilet paper. How do you do it? Well, you don't use conventional means. You reach out to your allies, your revolutionaries, your Marxist zealots in South America, and you organize and fund thousands of people to flood the U.S. border. It's a pretty inventive way to strike back. Not only is it a form of economic warfare, but it also destabilizes the U.S. political structure. And that's not to mention how many criminal elements might be tagging along. How many Venezuelan or Cuban spies are using this as cover to enter our country? How many terrorists might be riding along with the intention of attacking the U.S. targets? Reports this morning are saying that more than two more caravans are currently forming, one in El Salvador and now one in Guatemala. To use a military term, are we being attacked in waves? Was the first caravan of 7,000 just the first wave? How many more will we see? And if this allegation is correct, there is no other way to describe it. The United States is under attack.
He's such a conspiracy theorist. Now I say that we're being attacked and these poor little...
I know. So I'm really with you. I only said those things because the Zionist had a gun to my head and I had to say them. Now I'm free from my Zionist masters. So let me just say this to the mainstream media. Please, please find out if they have enough water and how that water is getting to those 7,000. Please find out if they have enough food. Who's providing that food for them? Because I want to hold them up on my shoulders. I want to be able to say, look at this generosity. They're scheduling the trucks and paying for the trucks to move the food and the water. And the sanitary conditions, please, please, CNN, please, just for humanitarian reasons, please find out. Welcome to the program, Stu. Also, we welcome Jason. Now, I don't know which one it is.
I'm certainly not going to help you.
I'm not going to help you.
Jason what? What's his last name?
I know his last name, but I don't know.
I mean,
you know who he is.
How many years has he worked? I never know
how to pronounce it now because I can't remember which one's right and which one's wrong.
How many years has he worked for you? A long time, huh?
I don't recall.
Various different roles.
I don't recall.
A good tight, good close friend, I would say.
Jason Buttrill is with us
Boom.
Now. Okay, I got it now. All I have to do is concentrate on butt.
There you go.
Jason Buttrill is with us.
No, wrong one.
Jason Buttrill is with us now. It's the same word. It's just different emphasis. That's
so
all it is.
You should just, I don't know, maybe pick the right emphasis.
All right. Thank you, Stu.
Which is not my name.
Jason, welcome to the program. Jason has been following this caravan thing for quite a while, and we've been talking about the use of this tactic for, I don't know, years. This is what they're doing to the Israelis. Mm. They are attacking the Israeli borders, and what do they do? The Israelis respond, but the media only covers the response, not the attack. And they never look into who's really funding all of this. It's just, oh, poor Palestinian children want to come over. No, that's not what it is. That's not what it is. And it appears more and more that that's not what this is either, Jason.
Right. And this is something that's it's kind of amazing when you look at how the media just doesn't cover the things, or they don't look in the directions they're supposed to be looking at. And it's amazing to me that our small little media footprint here, we were the only ones to point this out long before anybody else even started catching on. Like, you were the first one, I think this was like 2.5 weeks ago or something like that, that said, wait a minute, who are these guys that are organizing all this? And when we dug into it, we were like, wow, these are like radical leftists. These are radical leftists with ties to both Maduro and to Raul Castro in Cuba.
And the former head of state for Honduras, who was, surprise, surprise, Barack Obama said was a coup. Well, no, it was the Supreme Court that said of Honduras that said the president is acting unconstitutional. He is trying to change the Constitution so we can have a military state under his rule. So the Supreme Court said, arrest him and kick him out.
Right.
That's what happened. That's what happened. Now, they're unhappy about that. Now, can you tell me a little bit about ALBA? Because most people don't know about ALBA.
Yeah, so when that now deposed leftist Marxist president, just before he was deposed, he was working on, with both Venezuela and Cuba, this massive, like, I want to call it like a European Union type alliance within South America. And it was called ALBA, and it was called the acronym was something along the lines of the Alliance for the Bolivarian People of Our America. So that was supposed to be the check to U.S. power to rise up in South America.
All right.
And Our America. Mm-hmm. And they were going to have their own currency. I don't know about maybe military agreements would have possibly could have followed. I mean, there were big plans for this. I also want to point out that one of the key observers, you know how like in international agreements, trade agreements, you have like key outside observers.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, their main one, was Iran, who is also an ally of Venezuela.
Huh.
Keep that in mind for a little bit later in this discussion when we talk about possible people who are tagging along in some of these caravans.
Okay, if you have watched and listened to this program and read the things that we have written, you're not surprised, and you are way ahead of the game of what's going on with this caravan. Let's give you some additional information, because it's very important what Mike Pence said yesterday. Mike Pence came out in the Oval Office and said, this is being funded by Venezuela. Now, the mainstream press, they're not going to do anything but ridicule that. But this makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And it does sound crazy when you first hear about it. Like, if you're not, if you don't know the backstory, you're like, Venezuela, you know, like, oh, here we go again.
They can't afford anything.
Yeah, they're just blaming something on the country so we can get involved or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, how do they even have the money to do this? But it makes perfect sense when you put it into the context of the relationship that Honduras had with both Venezuela and Cuba. It makes absolutely perfect sense.
In particular, this group that started this caravan, they are the group that backed the ousted Marxist radical president that was ousted in Honduras.
Right. And they still have a like populist avenue to go toward. Like their stated goal is still to restore that president back to power. And he was, and they do have kind of a case there, and an international case, because he was democratically elected. Mm-hmm. So really, if they can make such a firestorm, such a big media uprising over this, get international support and backing, they could technically eventually try and get this guy back into power. But that is their goal. And that's where this started. And I think that's where Honduras, this party, these people in Honduras, why they originally organized this. But Venezuela also has other reasons to be behind this. Now, you think about it, just was a few months ago, Venezuelan President Maduro just survived an assassination attempt. And he blamed the United States. He blamed the United States for for backing those people. He blames the United States for the economic warfare. Basically, all the things that are wrong with him. It's not socialism. It's the United States' fault that socialism is not working, not the theory behind it. So he blames us for all these things. So if you are Maduro, you want to strike back. They just tried to kill you, in his words. How do you do it when you can't compete with the United States in a conventional manner? You have to go non-conventional ways.
Right. And you have to understand, too, that it was the ousting of the Honduran presidency, the guy this caravan supports. When he was ousted, the first thing the new government did, or one of the first things the new government did, was get out of the ALBA agreement, which was agreements of, hey, we're going to prop each other up. So as soon as Honduras pulled out away from Venezuela, that hurt them economically.
Big time.
So he's got a double reason for doing this.
This is huge. So you really need to look at it through that lens. They have a gigantic political and future economic reasoning behind all this. There's a very big plan, you know, in place to do all this. I mentioned before that Iran and both Syria were big time observers of this economic union. And a lot of people have been focusing on, well, what if ISIS gets into this, to this group or whatever? You mentioned the possibility of Cuban intelligence, Venezuelan intelligence, which I think is probably 90% likely that they are a part of this caravan. But also through Iran, Hezbollah could be all in this caravan. I have no information on that or no intelligence behind it. But because of all the actors, because of everyone involved, and because of the people that are supporting
Cuba,
this.
Cuba, Venezuela, Iran.
Right.
Got it.
You could be, Hezbollah would be my, if I'm in a U.S. intelligence operative, I'm looking for Hezbollah links, you know, inside this caravan. And I guarantee you, the U.S. Intelligence agencies are all over this. I'm sure we've infiltrated this. That's why when the Vice President of the United States says that, oh, the Honduran president told me this, he's not reporting on hearsay. Like, that would be hearsay unless they seriously have something behind it. I fully think that he knows. I think I heard your interview with Governor Abbott yesterday.
Yeah, he knew.
He knew as well.
He knew.
And, of course, that's something he would not come out and say, oh, Venezuela's behind this. Mm-hmm. The governor of Texas is not going to say that. Mm-hmm. But I do think Vice President Pence tipped his hand on that. I fully think that they're behind this. Now, the question now is, how does this escalate? You mentioned waves of attacks. Yeah. We already know there's a caravan forming in El Salvador. There's a caravan forming in Guatemala.
And who are they forming? Who's forming them?
We don't know the organizers yet, but those are all—they're all on the same border, all with Honduras.
Right.
So the same people, that Liberty and Refoundation Party, look that up when you're looking these things up and doing your own homework. Liberty and Refoundation Party in Honduras. I would not be surprised if we hear more names in El Salvador, in Guatemala, forming these. caravans, because the Honduras border was shut down pretty heavily. They cracked down on that border, so they can't send more people from Honduras anymore. So they're probably going. Those their allies in El Salvador and Guatemala are probably just forming them in their border countries.
And the press won't look into this. In fact, the press is downplaying this now. And the reason why is because they know this is a nightmare for Democrats in the election. This is an absolute nightmare. The buildup to it. What happens on the border may actually work to their advantage politically, because you'll have the big, bad American soldier standing up. But the buildup before the border, they are saying this is a conspiracy. We don't know where they're headed. Yes, yes, we do. Yes, we do. We know what their intent is: to cross our border en masse. You need to start demanding and tweeting that press looks into the humanitarian issues of this caravan. Who's providing the water and the medical care? Because we're all very concerned about this caravan. Who is paying for the food, the water, and emergencies?
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Stu, mm-hmm. I would like you to talk to my wife about Field of Greens and explain to her that I no longer have to eat my vegetables.
Well, this is the whole point of Field of Greens, in my mind.
Thank you, in my mind, too.
Not necessarily in their mind, but
yes, they're like, oh, so good, you're getting your vegetables and it doesn't hurt to have more. No.
Well,
no.
To be fair to your wife, though, she may be thinking of, there's a lot of these like products that say that they're like superfoods.
45 seconds.
And they're just like extracts, and they don't really do any... You know, superfood's a kind of an overused term. Brick House with Field of Greens, this is actual real food. Like, they just made it easy for you to eat. You're having all the vegetables. You're getting the nutrients that you need. You're listening to your mommy.
Nutty. Yeah. I'm not going to get scurvy now.
Yeah.
So I can take it, the Field of Greens. Take it and just get all of your fruits and vegetables out of the way.
Yeah.
You can do it now. Just go to BrickHouseGlenn.com. BrickHouseGlenn.com. Join me.
Yeah.
And Wives of America. We've had our fruits and vegetables.
If you use the promo code Glenn, by the way, 15% off. It's BrickHouseGlenn.com. BrickHouseGlenn.com. Go there now.
Okay, so yesterday we had a very perplexing conversation, because there was a story that came out in the New York Times. And I think what they're saying is what I've always been saying about transgenderism, and I thought this was politically incorrect, and I don't know what the hell this even means now. Has this, I really honestly do not understand. Stu brought this up. Read the Times article that you brought up.
Yeah, the Times article is "Anatomy Does Not Determine Gender, Experts Say." That's the title. Now, it's kind of themed through discussion of this Trump plan to change the way people register on paperwork. You'd be registering as the sex you were born at, not the sex you believe you are today. So that's kind of where it's themed. And of course, every piece of news must go through some sort of Trump filter to see whether you can blame Trump or excuse Trump, or no one can just talk about an issue anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But through at the you know, about halfway through the story, you get this. And I was fascinated by this discussion. How to define identity. Researchers say gender identity comes from the brain, not the body. Some put it more bluntly, it originates between your ears, not between your legs. And so,
yes,
I would say, like, that strikes me as I read it again, almost like a conservative critique.
Right.
Of
that's coming between your ears, not your legs.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
And this is supposed to be what the researchers are saying. And it struck me as I was reading this that we are discussing two different things. Like, the reason why you would want someone to register as a male or female, let's say on a government healthcare form, right, would be something because, not because of the feeling in their brain, right?
Because of what they really are.
Right, like you would have to cover, for example, birth, right? Something that a man can't do.
Wow.
Right? And then again, that's a whole other part of controversy of Obamacare and other things. But the point being, you know, there's a reason to know these things in theory with the government, not because they're tracking how feelings. They're not tracking how you feel in your brain, right? They're talking about specific things that body parts can do, And, you know, that is, you know, there might be a higher risk of breast cancer or a higher risk of another type of cancer. That doesn't change because your mind feels like you're more like a boy than you are a girl.
And gender has, they have gotten away from one traditional definition of gender, which is male or female. But the other part of the definition of gender is describing traits. That is really kind of, you know, feminine. That is a traditional masculine gender. Okay, those traits.
The tomboy.
The tomboy. Right? That's a masculine gender trait. Okay.
Right.
But those are traits. Now, you want to talk about traits, okay. But we're talking, I thought about saying that you are actually a woman. And that's not true. So Dr. Deborah So is with us. She is a journalist and sex researcher and has her head screwed on right and isn't afraid. She's Canadian. I don't know what it is with the Canadians having more guts than us, but she's a Canadian researcher and has spoken out about this. And Deborah, I just want you to set us straight. Where are we wrong here? What are we missing?
I'm absolutely appalled by the coverage on this story because there's so much misinformation being spread. And, you know, with regards to that Times piece in particular, anatomy very much does determine gender. I mean, nowadays, gender is seen as sort of this free-floating, nebulous concept that is completely divorced from biology, but it's very much linked to biology and anatomy. For 99% of us, our biological sex is our gender. Of course, that's not the case with everybody, but for the vast majority of us, that is the case. And I don't think there should be anything wrong with saying that.
So wait a minute. So hang on. But what the Times article was saying is that gender happens. And I am willing to go back to the, you know, definition. Male born this way, female born this way. You want to say gender is male or female specific, but I'm also willing to say, okay, gender is the traits, but it is not biological. I'm even willing to go that far. However, what's happening here is they're taking away sex and tying it to gender. And so why would we have male and female sex if it's all gender? If it means the same thing, it doesn't talk about traits. The other part is, isn't that gender dysphoria? If it is all happening in your head, then that's dysphoria, is it not?
I see what you're saying. Well, I think nowadays people tend to use the word gender across the board, one, because they don't want to use the word sex. Maybe that makes them uncomfortable. But I think also from an ideological perspective, it makes it easier for people to argue that you can identify as whatever you want, because it's a little bit trickier. I think most people still have the common sense to know that biological sex is immutable. So to argue for, say, something like transgender rights, it becomes helpful for them to say, well, maybe it's not about biology, it's about gender, which is, you know, they say it's a social construct or whatever, which it isn't. But it makes it a little bit easier to argue that, okay, the way someone feels may not necessarily be linked to their biology. So I'm not sure if that really speaks to the point you're making.
So, but can you explain what gender dysphoria is?
Right. So it's the feeling that someone feels more in alignment with the opposite sex than their birth sex. So someone would be born male, but they will feel more as though they fit in the female role.
Okay. How has gender dysphoria been embraced? Is gender dysphoria a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's seen as, I don't think it should be seen as good or bad. I think it's a medical condition, and I think people who are suffering should be able to have access to care. And I think adults should be allowed to transition if that's deemed the best approach for them. But I think nowadays it's kind of glamorized and seen as something that is really almost preferred. No, I wouldn't say preferred in society, but it's almost like seen as a positive thing, especially among progressive people.
So, but here's my point. Isn't anorexia a form of physical dysmorphia, that you see your body as fat, even though you're 60 pounds. Isn't that dysphoria?
Right, true. The thing with gender dysphoria is it does have biological correlates. So this is the thing I find very confusing about the whole transgender movement is that, you know, some people will argue that biology has nothing to do with it. Other people argue that it is strongly biological. I would think that proponents of this movement would want to be in alignment with the science that does show it is biological, because doesn't that add some sort of validity, I guess, to what they're saying? Because it has to do with hormonal exposure in utero. So an example I can give is, say, girls who are exposed to a higher level of testosterone in utero. So higher levels of exposure to testosterone is associated with more male typical interests and behaviors. So girls who are exposed to higher levels of testosterone when they are born, they are more male typical in their behavior. They're also more likely to want to have a male gender identity. So it speaks to the biological influence, even though people want to say that gender is completely diverse from that.
So I guess one of the things as I was reading the story, Dr. So, is that there is a, it's almost like we're talking about two different things. You know, we were, if what gender is a feeling, that is an interesting thing for people like you to research on. And even
if it's a biological feeling.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. But it's not necessarily of interest on a forum, you know, that you're turning into the government, right? I mean, like that's a different. I mean, it may be in certain circumstances, but why the government is asking for this information is not necessarily about someone's feelings. It's about a physical characteristic that they hold. So, I mean, is it just basically that gender doesn't mean what it used to mean? Are they using gender to say this is a feeling? And therefore, we should almost come up with a different word for what I... Because what I'm describing and what we've talked about this entire time has nothing to do with feelings.
It's male or female.
It's about physical characteristics. What is the word for that?
I see what you mean. I think from the perspective of what the administration is trying to do, I think they should be allowed to collect that information and those data without it being such a controversial issue. And, you know, with regards to protecting Title IX and women's rights, I don't know why people don't see it from that perspective that this is a positive thing, because shouldn't that be seen as helping women, right? And it kind of does boil down to this larger argument that's going on right now about people who were born female versus the rights of transgender women, and are transgender women full stop? And so there is this argument going on. I don't know if either of you have been following this, but with it's been mostly radical feminists. I wouldn't consider myself a radical feminist, but, you know, this group of very progressive women who are saying transgender women are not the same as people who were born female. So in this argument, transgender activists have been winning so far. And we see that in terms of how this narrative has played out with the recent decision. But in terms of what you're saying, I see what you're saying, and I guess I'm using different words to kind of mean the same thing, in that, yes, for people who are male or female, that gender is basically sex. It is, at the end of the day, the same thing. But nowadays, gender is being used in a different way to kind of argue for this more progressive idea that you can be whatever you want.
And I'm not insane, right? That's changed. Right? I'm not completely insane in the belief that gender used to mean taking this word and making it mean feelings instead of what it used to mean, which was biological gender, sex
and traits.
Right, and that's why I think
two definitions
spread to this larger idea that gender is a spectrum, because if you feel a certain way on one day and you feel differently on another day, that must mean that your gender must be something unrelated to sex, which is immutable.
So one more follow-up on this. If, as the New York Times says, gender identity comes from the brain, not the body. It originates between your ears and not between your legs. If that is accurate, and that is a defense of the transgendered argument, right? It's not a criticism of it. It's a defense of it. If that is true and it's in your brain and not between your legs, why are there physical surgeries associated with being transgendered?
Right. I mean, that argument doesn't really make much sense. And I don't like that argument because it's not really accurate either, because what's between your legs and what goes on your brain is linked. So you can't really separate the two and treat them like they're completely different phenomena. But there's a lot of aspects of this argument that don't make sense. I mean, transgender activists will also say that gender is a social construct. But if that's the case, why do you then need hormonal intervention mm-hmm. to transition or to feel more in alignment with the sex that you identify as? So I guess my biggest gripe from this whole thing is that, you know, sex is about being male or female. Gender is how you feel in relation to your sex. But again, as I said, for the vast majority of us, our biological sex does dictate our gender. So I don't think the three of us are necessarily that, you know, view things that differently, even though I'm using different terms to describe it.
Let me ask you a really difficult and politically incorrect question. If dysmorphia, for instance, is we say that it's bad to be anorexic because you're seeing your body in a way that is not reality and it's dangerous. It's not a healthy outlook. We see the stats of people who have gender dysmorphia and the suicide rates are really bad. Having the sex change and everything else is not changing those suicide rates. So why are we taking the gender dysmorphia and say, hey, it's totally fine, when it's not? It's not. The suicide rates are bad.
I would agree that one thing we aren't talking about is comorbidity. I do think many people who are coming out as transgender nowadays probably have some other psychiatric condition that isn't being diagnosed because clinicians aren't able to do their job properly. So if someone comes into your clinic and says that they are transgender, I don't work with patients anymore, but if someone comes in now and says that they're transgender, a clinician really does have to take that at face value. They're not really allowed to ask deeper questions because that's seen as transphobic. So I think nowadays, because it's seen as very trendy to be trans, that could be part of it. And so if someone who has another form of psychopathology, it's manifesting as something that has to do with gender, even if gender has nothing to do with it. But with regards to why transitioning should be seen as something beneficial, I mean, research does show for some people it can help. I do think if other things have been ruled out, that it can be beneficial for somebody. I think ultimately adults should be free to do what they want with their bodies.
So do I. Don't get me wrong. So do I. But I think what I was getting to, and you've just answered, is this transphobia, just herding everybody into ask no questions is dangerous. It's just dangerous for people. And we should look, in the end, you're an adult. You get to do what you want to do. And I'm fine with that. But just the silencing of thought, and in this case, science, medicine, is terrifying.
Yeah, but I mean, going back to the difference between gender dysphoria and, say, something like anorexia, with people who are gender dysphoric, their brains have been partially either masculinized or feminized
right.
in the direction
I got
of
it.
The gender they identify as.
Right.
But the thing is, these studies that show this in the brain are also conflated with sexual orientation. So if you have a study on trans women, say, so these are people who were born male but identify as female, they are also attracted for the most part to men. So when you do these brain studies, we're still not clear on if the differences we're seeing are due to them identifying as female or due to them being sexually attracted to men, because there are very strong neural correlates that are associated with sexual orientation. So that's the other thing that people aren't talking about, is that this has a lot to do with sexual orientation being gay. And so the brain correlates that people are talking so much about how transgender, being transgender, is in the brain, it's not really accurate because we don't know that for sure yet.
Dr. Deborah So, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Always enlightening to talk to somebody who is not politically correct and doesn't agree with everything that you say, or, you know, you may not agree with everything she says. Good. Have the conversation. It's healthy. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. And don't forget, rate us on iTunes.
Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
Home Title Lock. Home
Cowards.
Title Lock. You know, we had someone in, was it a retired FBI agent?
Yeah.
Comes in here, shows us how easy it is to steal your home. It's
really, like, terrifyingly easy. $40.
$45.
$40 and they have your house. and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
And it's not like some big scam. You don't have to be somebody who really bright. You can. It's amazing how easy it is to steal somebody's house.
Yeah, ordering a notary online. And they, I mean, it is actually terrifying. And they can steal hundreds of thousands of dollars from you because they'll steal your equity, take out a loan, and then you're stuck with the payments.
And I'm worried about not only my house, but like my parents' house.
Yeah, or if you own a rental property, it's another big target.
Really bad.
If you've got to check that out. Your home's title may already be compromised. Find out for sure. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. Get your $100 search free with sign up.
Do
it. It's HomeTitleLock.com. Check it out now, HomeTitleLock.com.
Dale. This is from the latest podcast, The News and Why It Matters. If you aren't, if you don't subscribe to that, it's about a 45-minute thing. On your way home, you can listen to it. And it's me, and it's Stu, it's Pat, it's Sarah Gonzalez, and also just sometimes a guest, like yesterday was Sean Spicer. And it's just a kind of a fun look at the news. Here's what Sean Spicer said yesterday. Just a little bit of what he said about this election.
The problem is that their base, the vocal minority of their base, keeps dragging them so far to the left that they kind of have to keep fumbling past each other to outdo each other to prove who's the most pure. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest problem that we have right now for the Democrats is that they have been the biggest helpers to the Republican Party.
Oh, big time.
Because by going so far to the left and trying to appease this mob, which is what it really is, they've lost the ability to talk about things on the Senate. I know. You can't do that. They've for most pragmatic traditional Democrats, they feel like the party is so far left them. I actually think you might have a turnout problem. You're talking about it with the Latino community now. I think the Democrats, as ironic as this may sound, may actually lose the enthusiasm gap by a big margin heading into the midterms because a lot of these folks are saying, wow, they've now exposed who they really are. This isn't about fighting for workers' rights or environmental causes that we've cared about for so long. This is about impeachment and investigations. I don't know that I bought in on that if you're a traditional Democrat. And I think that they look at the Republicans, who have been focused on a pretty pragmatic agenda of economic growth, low unemployment, tearing down the deregulatory state. And they go, you know, I'm not sure I'm a Republican, but I kind of agree with that agenda.
So when the dust settles, how many Republican senators are there?
55.
Yep.
And I think if you call me and go, ah, you were wrong, it's 56.
you'll be okay with that?
I'll be okay with that. But I think that the way it's going now, we've got a 51-49 majority. Again, I actually think Florida's going to go Republican. Governor Scott's going to beat incumbent Senator Nelson. I think there's no question that Indiana and North Dakota are in the bag. And then I think...
You think Indiana's in the bag? I mean, North Dakota,
16 points.
Yeah, but...
You can't blow that lead.
But Indiana is another story. I mean, that's...
Indiana... it's up four, but it's... Look, I've been in politics a long time. The trend is what matters. Mm-hmm. If you're fighting back, if you've got the lead and it's coming over you, that's not good. Right now, when you look at Indiana, it's continuing to move in the right direction. Donnelly keeps fading further and further back. You don't pick up that momentum going. You don't reverse the trend in the last 14 days. It just doesn't happen.
That's from the News and Why It Matters podcast that you can watch every night at 5:30 immediately following my show, or you can get the podcast around the same time wherever you download and listen to your podcasts. Fascinating yesterday. He was actually really funny, too. I really liked him. Really liked
funny.
Him.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Well, here we are today. We have suspicious packages again sent to the White House, then to the Clintons, then to Obama, now to CNN. CNN's building has been evacuated. We have gone through this when we lived in New York. It is a scary, scary thing. But we are reaping the seeds that all of us are, I shouldn't say all of us, a lot of people who are in politics are sowing. The streets are becoming more and more dangerous for people who have a political opinion. And this is not good. Can you name the guy who tried to shoot all of the Republicans on the baseball diamond? Can you name him? Give me his name.
Well, we don't give the names of mass shooters.
Yeah, because you don't remember it. Most people don't remember it because it really happened and then everybody moved on. but it was a Democratic operative that had worked for Bernie Sanders that had had enough. And now we're hearing this rhetoric of, you know, when they go low, we kick them. Go get them at dinner time. Roger Williams is a representative from Texas, and he was on that baseball diamond when the shooter started to shoot at the Republicans, trying to kill the Republicans for political reasons. He's written a great op-ed about it's wrong to promote violence. Welcome to the program, Congressman Williams. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Glenn. Thank you for having us.
So can you tell me what that day was like now a year away from it?
Well, it was it's like it was yesterday to all of us, of course, but it was we practice. I'm the coach of the baseball team. We practice every morning getting ready for a game in June. And at I was hitting ground balls to one of my colleagues at third base, and all of a sudden a boom went off. And, you know, like a lot of people, we thought it was a backfiring of a car, possibly. 7:09 in the morning in a very nice area in Alexandria. And all of a sudden someone yelled, "He's got a gun, head for cover." And my instinct told me to go to the dugout. It was a real dugout, so I dove into the dugout at that 6 foot to get away from this guy. He was firing. I ended up with Jeff Flake and Mo Brooks, and he started firing. He fired 60 rounds before anybody fired back. We were fortunate we had two Capitol Police there that could defend us, but he was firing AK-47 and fired 60 rounds. There was absolutely no way we were going to live. I mean, he was going to get across the field and assassinate everybody, but a lock kept him from doing that. Nobody knows why the lock was there. But, you know, I got wounded. Of course, we're familiar with Steve Scalise's wounds. My aide got wounded. Another young man got wounded. The Capitol Police got wounded. It lasted 10 minutes. And I've had friends of mine say when you're in war, a battle lasts about 2 minutes. It was a life-changing experience. But the idea that somebody could get up that morning, somebody go kill people and kill Republicans, is pretty unbelievable that that's where we are right now. And, of course, everybody thought that was an event that was going to turn things around from a civility standpoint. It did for about 12 hours, and that was that. So, anyway, it's a life-changer for all of us, and I'm thankful that God was in charge, and he let the perpetrator be the one that lost rather than 25 congressmen. It could have really changed the world.
So how do you react when you see, you know, Eric Holder say, you know, when Republicans go low, we kick them, and they're cheering to that?
Well, you know, it's Eric Holder. It's Pelosi. It's Maxine Waters, who I said she and I are on the Financial Services Committee together. And when they start telling everybody to, like you say, go low, run people out of restaurants. I mean, I've had all that experience to me also. It's just wrong. And the shame of it is they haven't been shot at. They haven't been shot. They haven't been wounded. And I take personal, and all of us do, personal problem with it. Is they're mouthing and they're creating a really, really problem in our country. Civility is the word that keeps being used, but we have no civility. We're not going to get back to where people can agree to disagree in a civil manner. It's just being stirred up, and a lot of it by the liberal left. There's no question about it. So it bothers us. And, you know, I've had my daughter had a wedding several weeks ago. We had protesters at her wedding. I've been yelled at restaurants, just like a lot of my colleagues. It kind of takes the fun out of this, right? But at the same time, we serve for a lot of different reasons. And I hope we can get back to where we can agree to disagree again.
So the bombs or the suspicious packages, Clinton's, Obama, Soros, the White House, now CNN today, Antifa on the streets. I'd have to point out the Proud Boys, you know, answering that by going out and delivering blows once somebody, you know, throws a punch at them. It doesn't seem like we're getting any better.
No, we're not getting any better. And you know, and it's not right either that President Obama, President Clinton, President Trump have to have these packages delivered to where they are. I mean, that is wrong also. You know, I don't know what's going to change it. I gave a speech in Washington today and came out of the office building where I spoke, and people had stone bricks through our windshield of our car, of our van, all of it broken. Mm. You know, stole everything that was in it.
What do people like you? I mean, you're sitting on a committee with Maxine Waters. You have to have said to her, have you forgotten what happened at the baseball diamond? Have you said these things to her, and how does she respond?
No, I have said it to her, and I've said it to a lot of my those on the other side, and they don't respond. They just they just look at you. I mean, and it's a shame. And the fact of the matter is, I guess they don't want to remember it. But I will tell you this about the baseball incident. I travel all over the country, and of course, as you said earlier, the news cycle goes quick. But there's still people remember and come up to you and say, "I'm praying for you, Congressman." I remember I was on that morning when I heard about it. It was a moment that I don't think is going to leave when it's a moment that shows how low we've gone. But when you mention it to Maxine or you mention it to some of the others, they have no response at all. And it's just moved on. They've just moved on. We were just lucky or whatever. And it's a bad, bad environment. And it's all generated, I believe, from the dislike of this president. The anger, I mean, rather the president fail than the country succeed.
What do you say to people who would say, well, he's engaging in the same kind of rhetoric?
Well, I mean, I hear that too. And I guess I could say there's some things probably I don't agree with. We all need to dial it down. But it's not right. And we just need to, it's just, Glenn, it's hard to say. Everybody in their heart needs to look at what we're going through right now. It's not getting any better. It's not getting more civil. It's who can do more to the other side. And, you know, I guess I would say in my world, it started at the baseball field, and I know who started it. And it wasn't a conservative on the Republican side that started it.
You know, right before the Civil War, Sumner was beaten with a cane by a congressman in the well of the Senate, and he almost died. They didn't even arrest the congressman. Nobody said anything about it. And in fact, they took the pieces of wood and made little canes, and they wore them around their neck as a badge of honor that, you know, don't mess with our party because we'll beat you to death.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I read that years ago, I thought, well, we're a long way from civil war, but I'm not sure we are that far from that kind of barbarism.
Well, unfortunately, instead of using canes, we're using guns right now. And, you know, I mean, to go to a restaurant with your family and be yelled at, to get on an airplane to go back to D.C. or to come home and be yelled at.
What's that feel,
you know,
like?
It just,
CNN says that's not a mob.
Well, I'll tell you, you can have a mob of hundreds, a mob of millions, a mob of one. And, you know, from a personal standpoint, I mean, I'm a former athlete. I've got a lot of drive in me, a lot of fire. But, you know, I have found myself just giving them my card and saying, I can't deal with your anger, but if I can ever help you, you let me know. And, but, I mean, it's restaurants, it's airplanes, it's being on the street. It's pretty unbelievable, but it's the way it is, and it's not getting any better. And many of us now have been have to have security, you know, that's just another level of defense from this attitude of you know, to heck with America, let's go get them. And if we put much effort into passing or not passing legislation, reducing regulations, as we do with trying to attack each other, I think we'd see a lot more positive things in Congress.
We would. Congressman Roger Williams, thank you very much, and thank you for your service. And sorry that has happened to you and your colleagues. And I hope people on both sides will hear your message and recognize that we can all play a role in this based on how we behave. Thank you so much.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.